You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
All right. Good morning. So good to see you, and a big welcome to all those watching wherever you are in the world right now. In Jesus' name, let's all stand. We're going to pray. We're going to open our hearts in expectant for revelation to pour into our hearts. So, Father God, from the front to the back, the left to the right, thank you for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the room. Peel back the layers of our heart. Hear us, help us to hear truth today by the power of your Holy Spirit. We want to leave here changed and transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone. Fantastic. Well, our church is in a series of teachings about why we do the things that we do. Why do we do the things that we do? And this morning, we are talking about why we worship. Why do we worship? The why behind the what of worship. Do we worship because, well, that's just what Christians do when they come to church? Why do we worship? Is it just because the Bible tells us to worship? Is worship all about us giving to God, or is it also about God giving to us? So today I'm going to give you three reasons why worship is a powerfully radical way that your life can be transformed and open to a flow of God's grace in your life. Who's ready for that? Who's ready for that? All right, so before we get to those reasons, we need to get it clear in our minds about what does the Bible mean when we say worship? What is worship? What qualifies as worship? Because as my friend Shane Willard says, and I'll try and say it with that American accent, words don't matter. How we picture the words working matters. All right? Thank you, Shane. So what picture comes to your mind when I say the word worship? Is it just the slow songs in church? Is it kneeling? Is it bowing? Is it lifting your hands? Well, actually, yes, they're all the external expressions of worship, but the Bible says we can do all those external expressions and yet in our heart we're not really worshiping God. Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah and says, "These people honor me only with their words, but their hearts are so very distant from me. They pretend to worship me, but their worship is nothing more than the empty traditions of men." So God actually casts aside, dismisses all the external expressions of worship and tells us that true worship is defined by the attitude of our hearts. So what is the essential quality that God is looking for in your heart and in my heart when he says, now that's worship? Well, the answer might surprise you because the one word that consistently describes the heart of somebody worshiping God, as we see it again and again and again in the Bible, is the word thankfulness. Yeah. Or better translated, gratitude. That's the true essence of worship, is gratitude and thanksgiving to God. So think about it. When you live out your life with a mindful gratitude towards God, acknowledge him as the source of all things, then everything you do can be turned into worship. Everything you do can be turned into worship in this mindful, grateful acknowledgement of God. So that's the first thing that I want you to take away from this teaching, that everything we do with mindful gratitude to God becomes worship. And that's why we're given this instruction in the Bible. Ephesians 5 says, always and for everything. Give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Colossians says, whatever you do, there it is, whether it's in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. 1 Thessalonians says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus the Lord. So these instructions for living a life of worship, living a life of thankfulness, are given to us by the Apostle Paul. But we should know that he's not introducing the Christians to something that's uniquely just for Christianity. He was himself a Jew, and he knew that this principle of living gratefully, living a life of worship to God, was interwoven and massaged deeply into the Jewish mindset. All right? Jewish people had long understood the power of worship. It says in Psalm 34 now, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So the Jewish people used gratitude to turn everything they did into worship. They had a prayer of gratitude for waking up in the morning. They had a prayer of gratitude for food, for clothing, for protection, for guidance, for traveling, for health, for taking a bath. On and on and on, gratitude, gratitude, gratitude towards God. But why? Why this lifestyle of gratitude? Was this just mindless religious ritual to them? Absolutely not. Did they think, you know what, God's insecure and we constantly need to reassure him that we're grateful and that he is good? None of those reasons. Please understand. And this is my first da-na-na-na part of my message. Gratitude worship, that's what I'm going to call it. Gratitude worship not only expresses thankfulness for the gift, but also recognizes and acknowledges God as the ultimate giver of that gift. And when you position your heart in that position, it enables something wonderful to happen. And this brings me to the first reason for why we worship. We find it in Psalm 145. If ever you need some help to get started with grateful worship, start reading Psalm 145. It's gushing, absolutely gushing with gratitude, worship to God for his patience, for his power, for his provision. Gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. And then the psalmist gets to verse 16 and says this: when you open your generous hand, it's full of blessings, satisfying the longings of every living thing. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how the Bible can say so much in so few words. The psalmist is telling us something beautiful about worship that perhaps we've never thought of. As we open our hearts in gratitude worship to God, God opens his hand to us in response. So here we go. Reason number one for why we worship: when we gratefully acknowledge God as our source, it opens our hearts to receive a corresponding blessing from that source, who is God. Now, that's just a one-liner for the screen, but let me elaborate. When our worship is the grateful acknowledgement of God as our source, it puts our heart in alignment, our open heart in alignment with the open hand of God. And this alignment creates a pathway. Come on. Woo! Of God's grace to flow into the very same thing that we're thankful for. Wow. Wow. So worship is a moment of profound recognition that everything we have finds its origin in the hands of our Creator. And in that moment of grateful recognition, we feel something opening in our hearts. I hope you felt it as we worship today. And what happens next is truly remarkable. A pathway opens up between our open hands, hearts, and the open hand of God, and His grace begins to flow into whatever we've been thankful for. So let's take a few examples from Scripture. On two occasions in the Gospels, we're told of Jesus taking a small amount of food and giving thanks for it, all right? And the Jewish prayer for gratitude, by the way, I'd like to think that that's exactly the prayer that he prayed. It goes like this: Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. What's my point? On every occasion this miracle is mentioned, it points out that before the miracle took place, there was a grateful acknowledgement of God as the source that preceded the abundant provision that followed. All right? The Jewish people understood this powerful principle of worship, of position, that it's positional and it's critical in position. And this explains why we have this bizarre behavior of them going into battle, worshiping the God of victory, who then released the grace for the victory. Some of you know the story, 2 Chronicles 20, the king appointed singers. What? Now, these people understood the power of positioning themselves in worship. To walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord, praising Him for His holy splendor. This is what they sang. This doesn't sound like a war song. It's a positional song. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. And at that very moment, God opened His hand and released something and caused confusion, we're told, amongst the enemy armies. And they began to fight amongst themselves. So gratitude, worship, I think Jesus was engaging us with this principle when He told us to thank God. When we pray, thank God for the answer before it comes. Mark 11:24 tells us, whatever you ask, you give thanks and you'll receive. He's teaching us this principle. At the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem, King Solomon first read his prayer. It's a worshiping, aligning prayer to the God of glory. And in response, God released His glory and it filled the temple. You know, looking back over my life, I probably stumbled in and out of this principle without really realizing it. Situations where there seemed to be no way. And I worshiped the God who is my way maker. And He opened up a way. I remember the first house that Sally and I tried to gather the finance to buy. We were rejected by the bank. The bank loan we needed to buy there three times. They rejected us. And the third time he sort of said, listen, maybe give it up, all right? And so what we did was Sally and I, we went down to the local Bunnings. We bought a rose bush. We snuck into the property at night that we wanted to buy. We dug a hole in the garden. We planted the rose bush. We joined hands and began to thank God that He's our provider. Wow. Within a couple of days, the phone rings and it's the bank manager. And he says, you know what? I've been thinking about your bank loan. Why don't you come back in? And I think we should reapply. And 2 months later, we were living in that house. As we opened, as we aligned our hearts and opened our hearts, God opened His hand. All right. So when we are gratefully acknowledging God as our source, it opens our heart to receive a corresponding blessing from the God who is our source. So why has God set things up to work this way? Well, my guess is when we worship with gratitude, we're giving God His rightful place in our lives so that he can manifest himself as God in our lives. But before I get off this point, let me be clear about what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that worship is a subtle way of manipulating God to get what we want. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that gratitude worship opens our heart to the open hand of God, which enables the flow of God's grace to manifest in our life according to his love and wisdom. All right? Bible says, Romans 8, 28, for we know God causes all things to work together for good. Sometimes God works in our lives in a response to our worship, and certain things happen and we're looking at it and God says, that's good. That's good. Okay, that's good, God. According to his purpose. All right. All right. So trust me on this one. We don't want a God. We don't want a God. We might think we do, but we don't actually want a God that will give us what we want. We want a God who knows the end from the beginning and therefore is able to work all things together for good. We don't want a God we can manipulate with our short-sighted prayers and self-indulgent declarations. We don't want that God. We want a God that will release things to us out of his eternal wisdom. We want a God that will never sacrifice something of eternal value to give us something of temporal value. We don't want him to do that. So my reason, number one, for why we worship, grateful worship, why it should be our lifestyle is when we gratefully acknowledge God as our source, it opens our hearts to receive a corresponding blessing. Now, that's a powerful principle. If you get that working in your life, then something wonderful is about to be released. Reason number two flows from that first reason, and that is gratitude worship keeps our hearts in a position of humility. And guess where humility is? It's where God chooses to pour out his grace. And when we keep our hearts in humility, we avoid the trials that God will send to our life to bring us back into that place of humility. So gratitude worship keeps us in the awareness that in him we live and move and have our being. So gratitude worship is the anchor. Come on. It's the anchor your soul needs to stop you drifting into fat-headed pride. You need this. You need worship to anchor your soul, because your heart will drift into the place where grace for you isn't. Grace isn't being poured out on a proud heart. It's being poured out on the humble. So James chapter 4, verse 6 says, but he continually pours out more and more grace on us, for he says, God resists you when you're proud, but continually pours out grace when you are humble. So why is God's enabling power? That's what grace is, by the way. It's God's enabling power. Why is it being given to the humble? Well, let's understand what humility is. See, to worship, to really worship, it requires humility. You are my God. I'm not a God to myself. You are the source. You're the one opening your hand. I have because you opened your hand. This is humility. And humility is not weakness, everybody. It's knowing who you are in the light of who God is. That's what humility is. It's positional. Humility is like the branch living in a grateful awareness that it's only being fruitful because it's connected to the vine. That's the only reason why it's being fruitful. The humble person knows that they receive nothing on the basis of what they do. It's actually God who's opened his hand that I have what I have. And so the humble have moved away from the pride of believing that they are worthy, that the reason why I have this is I deserve it. It's because of what I have done that God has given me this. By comparison, the proud, they're always believing that God is being good to them because they're good, because of their performance. So really, it's not God they're trusting. They're actually trusting in themselves. And that's why God has to lift his hand off them. They're not trusting in God. They're trusting in themselves. So God lovingly will send trials into your life, into my life, not to punish, not disease and diabolical things, but things that will bring us back to our knees and have us deal with our ego and come back to a heart position where God is in his rightful place again. That's the purpose of why God sends trials. So if you worship and keep it as the anchor of your soul, keeping you in the place of humility, you're avoiding so much. You're avoiding the shepherd reaching out with his staff going tap, tap, at times whack, whack. Why? Because that's not punishment. That's God saying, I can't grace you where you are. You need to move back over here where grace is continuing to flow. It says, 1 Peter 5:6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And guess what? Because of that position, he will exalt you in due time. Notice we're told to humble ourselves. God doesn't want to do it. He wants you to do it. And how do we do it? We do it through worship, grateful worship. Here it is, reason number two again. Keeps our hearts in a position of humility. You want to keep your heart in a position of humility where God's grace flows? Then worship, real worship, will keep you in that place and avoid his refining trials. And reason number three for why we worship, gratitude worship shakes off. I love this one. I love all of them. Gratitude worship shakes off the heavy veil of self that's dulling our appreciation for God's gift of life. And it moves us into a greater awareness of God. It feels so good to say that. I'm going to say it again. Gratitude worship shakes off the heavy veil of self that's dulling our appreciation for God's gift of life and moves us into a greater awareness of God. So when we worship God with gratitude, it shifts us out of our self-centered egos and lifts us into this heightened awareness of God. Did you know when we're not living with this gratitude worship, I'm not seeing you. I'm not seeing an appreciation for you. I'm not seeing appreciation for the things. I'm too locked in my story in my head. There's a veil over my understanding. So worship, what a valuable thing it is. See, anything that's powerful enough to shift you out of your ego, you better appreciate, because your ego is the source of so much of your suffering. So anything that's going to move you out of that, you should be interested in it. So gratitude worship is the antidote for all these poisonous self-centered beliefs that are causing us so much emotional suffering. Now, you might be sitting here and you think, well, you know what, that's all very well, David, but I don't really have many things in my life to be grateful for. Well, Jesus said, seek and you'll find. A lack of gratitude is an awareness problem. Seek and you'll find, all right? So, and actually the word picture for the Hebrew word grateful is actually the picture of somebody going about their life looking for something good in it. I love these expansive languages that the Bible was originally written in. So a lack of gratitude is a lack of awareness. Gratitude worship shifts us out of the mindset of what isn't And it moves us into the mindset, what is? What is? Wow, what is there? Gratitude worship brings our attention into the present moment and opens our eyes up to what God is doing for us right now. Right now, in this moment, me standing up here, speaking to you these truths, move your heart into a place of gratitude. Not for me, but wow, God, you brought me here this morning, today, to hear this. You're reaching for me. Gratitude worship is the fullness of heart that looks up to God and says, thank you, God. And you know what? If you pray no other prayer this week but that, it will do you so much good. Thank you, God. So if we're not grateful to God, perhaps it's because we're confused. We actually think we deserve what we have. Well, what does that say to the people that don't have what you have? That they don't deserve? That they're somehow not worthy and you're more worthy? Can you see how a lack of worship, gratitude, worship, your heart's going to drift into pride? I'm going to ask the singers and musicians to come back and help me. So gratitude worship shakes off the heavy veil of self that's dulling our appreciation for the gift of life and moves us into a greater awareness of God. So do you deserve to have a body that immediately responds to the signals of your brain? Do you deserve that? Do you deserve to have a stomach that's full? You deserve that. I deserve that. You know, I have learned so much about gratitude worship from Christians living in the poorest countries in the world. And a story that never fails to move me was, I remember one trip I made to Nepal with a missions team. And towards the end of the trip, the team pulled their money and took this Sherpa, the guy that had been carrying our baggage, took him to the local market and bought him a pair of brand new sneakers. The ones he was wearing were absolutely falling apart. And he opened the box. Yes, they were his size. Everything was right. But then he carried the box home. He carried the box home. We saw him do this. We're wondering, you know, normally, put them on. No, he didn't want to put them on. Carries the box home. He calls his wife and his little girl and they put it on this little table and he opens the box. And they join hands and they thank God for his loving kindness. This little thing. You see, I was the poor person. They could see something I couldn't see. I could just see a pair of sneakers. They could see the loving kindness of God. And what do we do with the box? We throw it out. Oh no, that was given to the little girl to keep all her pencils and things together for school. What do we do with the tissue paper? Well, we throw it out. Oh no, that was used to soften the light in her room. And look at how it creates those shapes on you. Wow. So grateful. So grateful. Gratitude and worship was enabling them to see something that I couldn't see. It changes. Gratitude worship changes the way we see the world around us. It turns a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a flower into a smile from God. When was the last time you wow? Glory to you, God. You're amazing. Look at how you've made this. So why do we worship? Number one, when we gratefully acknowledge God as our source, love this, it opens our hearts to receive from the open hand of God, who is the source of all things. Gratitude worship keeps our hearts in a position of humility, anchors us there, so that we can receive God's grace and we avoid the trials of God, because he so loves you, he's going, I can't grace you where you are. I need to send this circumstance to move you back. so I can pour my grace on you. Number three, gratitude worship shakes off the heavy veil of self that's dulling our appreciation for the gift of life around us every day and moves us into this heightened awareness of God. Come on. Let's understand, wow, worship is such a powerful thing. It's not just songs we're singing. And so we're going to stand to our feet, everybody watching now. Let's all stand together. We're going to move into singing this song, Here I Am to Worship. You know the song, but why don't you sing it as a prayer song, as a position of your heart? Come on.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that He loves you very much. So much that He died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.